The Money Show.
Business Unusual
with Colin Cullis.
2020. That was an unusual year. Some businesses actually did thrive, Colin. I mean, it seems hard to believe, but it wasn't disgusting for everybody.
It wasn't, and I feel bad given that it was a terrible year to even think about how people were doing well. But this is the unusual part, and so I thought, yeah, I must do this. But I should also inform you that I am a slacker.
You're
what? Asking who uses a slacker.
Oh, a
person
slacker.
Who uses Slack.
What is it anyway? I mean, it's a messaging app internally when you could just knock on somebody's door. Oh, no, we don't do that anymore. Well, you can WhatsApp somebody. Why would you Slack rather than WhatsApp?
It works like WhatsApp, but it's a little more organized for sort of project management, sharing files, coordinating what you do. It's a fantastic little thing. Once you start using it, you wonder why we never had it all along. I just hope they can keep it sort of at the same price levels when they have just paid that eye-wateringly huge amount for it. But Bruce, there's one other announcement I must make that I'm very glad to be able to tell you, having only found out about it today.
Yes.
And that is that Apple has selected The Money Show
what?
As one of its top podcasts for 2020. So you're looking for one of the winners during a pandemic? It's good information.
What?
And so, yep, Apple has selected
why didn't
yours.
You tell me this earlier?
I never saw you earlier. It's the first time I'm speaking to you.
Send me something.
Yourself and Warren Ingram's personal finance, both of those have been selected into the business, the investing, and the general categories for South African podcasters.
How awesome.
So well done for that.
Send me details so that I can brag. That's fabulous. Thank you.
I certainly will.
Okay,
certainly will.
Other winners. Come on. Blush.
The other winners. So again, it was a terrible year, and like most disruptions, it never hurts everybody. There's some people that get hurt and others benefit. And so this is a look at those who did. And the first section, I suppose, it's fair for us to talk about are those who were forced to work from home. So if you were in or able to benefit from people, workforces having to move home, well, then you were the first in line. And certainly, I think it's fair to say, despite the ongoing debates about where office workers are the most productive, this year that was simplified, saying, don't care, just work from home if you can at all. And so that meant that if you were an equipment supplier, you know, making PCs and the like, you were in the pound seats. If you were in the telecommunications games and supplying fiber to the home, I can't imagine how Telkom and the rest of those guys had thought, wow, I wonder how long it's going to take us to convert all these copper guys onto fiber, particularly fiber to the home. Fiber to the business made sense, but fiber to the home, who's going to drive the adoption of this stuff? Man, did they get a huge run on it this year. And then the communication stuff, which I think the pandemic-related brand name for 2020 must be Zoom. Eric Wan, we covered him earlier in the year, just during, since March to now, has grown his wealth by $16 billion. Just basically for creating a little video software. So yeah, absolutely remarkable what some people managed to do, and that was part of those who managed to do that. And as I think even as you know, people start going back to offices, certainly as the lockdowns eased, when those new waves come through, and it's likely we're going to have a couple of them roll through before vaccines, et cetera, are all available, you're going to have to move back to working from home. And I imagine as well that the kinds of industries that did benefit from making use of staff who could work from home will probably continue and thrive, in which case the segment of the workforce that works from home because there's no need for them to be in an office will become a thing. And while people spoke about, oh, this could change, you know, the rental prices and where people live in cities, it won't be as dramatic as perhaps they were talking about at the beginning of the year, but it will create a little shift and people will have a little more flexibility. The one novel use, I thought, I don't know if you ever used Microsoft Teams, but Microsoft certainly as a software manufacturer and the creator of Teams benefit a lot, but they introduced the notion of a virtual commute. Now, you might have thought commuting was the one upside, or not having to commute was the one upside of the pandemic. You could do away with getting stuck in traffic. But the notion of it was to create a little time at the beginning of your day set aside for planning, a little bit of goal setting, possibly just thinking about what it is you wanted to do. And then again, at the end of the day, to separate your work day from your home day, because effectively, you know, getting up from a chair is effectively all it took for you to be at home and at work. And they even suggested that's an opportunity for some meditation exercises and the like. And another sort of sector of the industry that would have benefited, mental health apps or apps that sort of quantify our well-being have been on the rise. The manufacturers themselves have been understanding the impact of our digital lifestyles. But man, did they get a hit when an actual real threat to our mental health came along. And we really did need to rely on our devices once again to keep us connected or just to disconnect and stay relatively sane in that regard. Bill Gates, by the way, owning, I think it's only 1% he still retains of Microsoft, increased his wealth by $20 billion this year. The next one would be local manufacturing. And I say local manufacturing rather than manufacturing because a lot of people realize that this utopia of having China make everything for everybody was a bit of a problem when they couldn't move the stuff. And so maybe we're going to move now to something that's a little more balanced and not for horrible nationalistic reasons. But that the machinery to allow for local manufacturing, to use highly flexible robots, to not try and pick up the bulk manufacturing, which China and India are likely to still continue to do, but to take those short runs, quick turnaround times, to fill in things that your customers might need in the short term, that could be very useful. And then the other side of that, and it's a rather remarkable Dutch company, they didn't necessarily thrive this year, but they might show the way for what we wind up doing. It's a fashion brand out of the Netherlands. So they offer no discounts during the year. They never do sales. And they charge a lot for their clothes, and they encourage you to buy only a little of them. But they're the kind of things you hang on to, and they keep their high quality. Once a year, they empty their store of all of their garments, and anybody who would like to get rid of, sell the garments they've bought from the store. The store is filled with that, and they sell it. And then anybody who buys it, the proceeds get given back to you as vouchers, and so now you've got money to go buy new stuff from the store. I really like that as an idea, that hopefully this pandemic can get us to be a little more sustainable with those things. The other big winners, e-commerce, the sort of tipping point for trusting that you can spend money online and that the package or whatever it is you bought will arrive at your door, again, was taken away from you. You had very little options. You just had to hope and pray. And I got to say, I have take a lot and then one day only and bid or buy and just about any one of these guys. I've never used most of them. I've used them all regularly. Woolworths, Dash, the lot. And in that respect, I suppose the world is having what Asia had in 2003, because the tipping point and the fact that they rely so much on e-commerce, and you would have seen their Singles Day this year set another new incredible record for the amount of sales being processed, probably does suggest that this is a thing now, and we've definitely moved past that tipping point. The trick was the deliveries. And while that has been growing and is looking pretty good, certainly for having small parcels delivered very quickly, you know, with the notion of having deliveries within 60 minutes of you placing the order is remarkable. The sustainability for the payment to the people who are doing those deliveries, there are big, big challenges still to be overcome over there. And so we'll see how they go. Just picking up on who the biggest winner out of all that was, and it doesn't matter what category you look at, this is the guy. It's Jeff Bezos. Amazon had an absolutely incredible year. Yeah. He is $90 billion richer. His ex-wife is like one of the top winners for this year, and that's just because she, in the divorce settlement, got Amazon stock. He has, though, to his credit, donated $125 million to help with food programs. But even $125 million with $90 billion is only a fraction, and so that still does make it kind of hard to get your head around. But the other big winners, the entire Waltons family with Walmart, they picked up a lot. PC makers, Michael Dell, Oracle, all of those in multiple billions of dollars more. And I suppose this comes back to sort of a very big sector of what did very well, and it was the stock market. If anybody had something that they were going to put a share price on, then man, did it do, and in a surprisingly good way, this year. Billionaires became multi-billionaires. If you had some money to invest, or if you could get access to some of the freely available stuff sloshing about, people seem to have sunken into the stock market and got skyrocketing returns. The profits don't equate, and invariably for many of these companies, they still weren't actually profitable. But the belief that this now would be the thing to make them profitable probably did help them go. And one of the biggest winners in that respect, and this was a guy who had, strictly speaking, nothing to do with the pandemic. It was the owner and the founder of Quicken Loans in the US. He listed his company for $6 billion. Sorry, it was worth $6 billion in August, and then he listed. And he's now worth $49 billion. Just because everybody wanted to buy anything that wasn't nailed down. And it includes, Bruce, one of the things that I'm pretty sure you might want to spit after I say this, because Bitcoin is right back.
I'm not spitting. I have objection to Bitcoin. I just think you're nuts because Simon Dingle, my good friend Simon Dingle, shouts at me because he says it reveals my complete ineptitude when it comes to mathematics. Here is something with a limited resource, a limited reserve, lots of demand. Of course, it keeps going up. And yes, it hit record levels. And yes, we talked about it. And then it fell sharply, but then hit a new record as well just this week.
Yeah, and this rise seems to be a little slower, a little more sustained. The volumes seem to be holding. It doesn't seem to be that wild speculative bubble that it had the last time. Having said that, I think it is still a speculative bubble that is growing because the stock market seems to defy reality. I don't know why it is doing so well, given that the rest of the world is doing so badly. But that's Bitcoin and the way it's going. 290,000 Rand, by the way, is what it's currently worth. Medical suppliers and people in the medical fields, no surprises there. Whether you were supplying protective equipment or thermometers or doing the tests, the labs this year, and the amount of testing that needed to do and will still need to be done is going to obviously generate huge amounts of money for those companies. But I think the real winners will be the over 50 companies, and three now are ready for approvals. In fact, today we found out that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine has got approval for distribution in the UK. And so I suppose we can see those guys do particularly well, assuming the vaccines also prove to be effective. Then quickly, the social networks. Now, Jack Dorsey, extra 7 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, 36 years old, now with over 100 billion. He added $46 billion during the pandemic. Jack Dorsey didn't make his money or didn't get the increase in his money thanks to Twitter. He got it thanks to Square, the other company he co-founded, which is an e-commerce payments platform. But Mark Zuckerberg certainly did get it because of the amount of people who went onto Facebook to sell things. It was the ad behemoth of the year. But the reason why I say they were successful, well, wasn't just financially. They had a massive challenge in managing misinformation, something that they have managed very, very poorly in the past. And despite it not being good, it could have been a lot worse. And so in that respect, both Twitter and Facebook, I think, have turned the corner with regards to managing that stuff. And then just while they were dealing with the problems of pandemic sort of misinformation, along comes a US election, which really would have pushed them over the edge had they not had a lot more robust systems. And what made it, I suppose, even harder is that the greatest challenge they had this year for free and fair elections was probably the US president himself. And then we move to entertainment. It's possible that... Well, I certainly have not been inside a cinema this year. I've not seen any movies in a cinema. But I have watched a lot of TV, and I mean a lot. And so this is the streaming entertainment, guys. I was reading that Disney, for all of its parks, where it used to make a lot of money, has taken a bath. But it started a streaming service that has over 60 million subscribers in less than a year. So that suggests... that's income coming in every month rather than hoping somebody goes to a park once a year, once every 6 months. That shift is pretty big. In fact, I understand that in Europe, Netflix and some of the other streaming providers had to throttle back the quality because they were overburdening the entire internet of Europe. That's how much was going on. And to be fair, there were some really great shows. The Queen's Gambit coming out as one of the best shows of all time kind of thing. It's not a subject you would have imagined somebody's going to be crazy about. But good story, good script, and a great ending. Just what we need for 2020, I think, which is why it came out when it did.
Everybody needs a happy ending. Everybody does. Yes, exactly.
And I think the guy who's got the biggest one would be Tesla. Elon Musk, I think, is the man for 2020. Besides Tesla being selected to go into the S&P 500, his own worth going up by $68 billion. He's overcome a lot of the production challenges he had in the first part of the pandemic. He got COVID himself and seems to have recovered pretty well from that. He has moved beyond the regular passenger vehicles. He's gone into the commercial vehicles and looking very promising. He started the Buckies. I don't know what the official term for Buckies are, but those crazy Bucky car that he's got. The pickups. Yeah. And then he's sorted out the autonomous driving there, which puts him way ahead of just about any of his other competitors, which then also allows him now to move into the insurance market. Well, they have already. And because they're low maintenance and the things basically can't crash unless you force them to or somebody crashes into you, he's cleaning up that market. And then he took off with SpaceX this year, having one booster land or take off and land 7 times. He put a second crew, full crew, on the ISS. He has got the Starlink satellites have gone from a couple of dozen to 1,000, and his beta tests are rolling up. There's going to be the funding for his Mars explorations. That Starship is ready this week for some major extra tests, which maybe in the next 10 years should see him be able to connect any two parts of the planet in under 30 minutes. Again, not sure who's going to want to do that, but it'll be possible to do so. And so with all of those things, when I wind up reading the list, 2020 didn't look quite so bad, provided you were in the small list of those who really did make the most of the huge shifts that happened this year.
Colin Cullis, Business Unusual. Magnificent. Thanks, Colin.